Hello, welcome back to the Inside Right podcast, episode 10. We have Brian Dean on today, the technical director of St. George Football. How are you, Brian?
Very well. That's good. Thank you for having me on too.
Yeah. No worries. Sam, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. All right, so do you want to get into this segment?
Yeah,
so
tell us how it's going to go.
We're looking at three segments today. We're looking at the first one, which is all about you, which is what we would like to do at the Inside Right. We try to get the guests, you know, story. Yes. We have a big week overnight of football games, a lot of goals. So
21 goals in 5 games.
Crazy, eh? So
like you said, Brian, defending was not the strong point overnight.
I watched some of the highlights this morning, so yeah, it was quite interesting.
Pretty and crazy. We'll end with a third segment, which is Talking Soccer Bollocks Quiz. It sounds absolutely absurd, but it's a tradition we have in the Inside Right podcast where you answer 10 questions, which we'll get to soon.
Yeah, we'll explain in more detail at the end, all right?
Yeah, it should be fun.
So, Brian, before we go into detail about your career and different jobs you've had in the footballing world, give us a bit of a summary on how it all started.
Wow. Probably back in the days, under 6, under 7, first club was North Rocks.
Yep.
Playing back then, and got involved through some of parents' friends.
Yep.
So obviously the kids went and played for North Rocks. They were already playing at North Rocks football club. So yeah, that was the start of where I began my footballing life.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So does that kind of intertwine with how your love for football started?
Yeah, it does. And going back then, I think I was 7. I was watching the FA Cup final.
Yeah. Wow.
That was don't want to embarrass you boys, but that was 1971.
Yeah, right. Well,
so who was playing?
It was Arsenal versus Liverpool.
Oh.
And my first childhood hero scored the winning goal, which was Charlie George. Long hair. Yeah, I just loved him. And the way he played. And I followed football ever since. And mum and dad came out here when I was probably 1. So I was born in North London.
Yep.
So
wow, awesome.
I don't know. Just naturally, it seemed to fit that, you know, I watched Arsenal for the first time, FA Cup final.
Yeah.
And, there's my hero there, and away we go from there. That was my love of football.
Your parents didn't have an influence? Like, they weren't Arsenal fans, were they, or football fans?
No, not at all. I've got a Welsh father and an Irish mother.
There you go.
So and I was born in England, so there's a real mixture in there. Dad follows Cardiff City.
Yeah.
Mum wasn't really into
Shamrock
football.
Rovers.
Shamrock Rovers or anything like that. She comes from County Cavan. It was that initial, I think, when I was 7.
Yeah, cool.
You know, when you really get into it.
Cool.
By the time I was 8, I was playing representative football.
Yeah, wow.
So
that's awesome.
In those days, you actually played for your club on a Saturday and then you played rep football on a Sunday.
Yeah. What position?
So I played midfield.
Midfield, yeah.
So back then it was Granville District, one of the bigger associations back then.
Yep.
Very popular. We went undefeated in the rep football.
That's awesome.
That under 8s.
Yeah, that's great.
So, it was really cool. The love started back then.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we shift to the coaching aspect of your career. How did you get into that? Like, where did that start?
This is a really funny story. I was playing at a good level back then, playing semi-professional, and a bunch of mates who I went to school with wanted to start a football team. They didn't have a coach, so I just helped them out.
Yeah.
They didn't have a goalkeeper, so my father stepped in.
Yeah,
so he was a goalkeeper.
Yeah, cool.
So he, you know, he was at least 35 years, 40 years above the rest of the boys, but he played in goals for us. So that's where sort of coaching started, and that was in my probably early 20s.
Yeah.
So obviously playing and
coaching as well. How did that initially go, first season? All right.
It was fun.
It was fun?
It was fun, yeah. Oh, look, I do remember one story, and it's probably not a gruesome one, but one where a mate of mine went in for a tackle and he broke his leg.
Oh.
And I do remember hearing the sirens coming at the stage, and down comes the sirens, and obviously one of the boys shouted, "Oh, look, they've sent a fire engine instead of an ambulance." So I just remember that was just a clear thing that you know, in your football and coaching career, some of those things stand out. So
Cool.
Crazy. At the time, everyone was giggling, but
what a way to start.
Yeah.
So you're now the current technical director at St. George Football. How long have you been there for, and how's your stay been at St. George?
Okay, my second year at St. George. It's been interesting.
Yep.
Interesting times over there. My focus is really on player and coach development within the association.
Yep.
So we've got 23 clubs.
Yep.
This year we've got over 11,000 players, so we've just ticked over 11,000, which is great for the association.
Yep.
And those 23 clubs include one club, which is a Football for All club.
Yep.
So the inclusion of that within the association is fantastic. So that falls under my realm now.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just more about player and coach development. So things we've got going at the moment is coaching courses, obviously, for all the associations. So if there's any St. George people out there listening, get into those courses. If there's mini roos or the other community courses out there for you. Player development, we've currently got an academy going, and I use that word academy lightly or loosely. So we've got what they call a goalkeeper academy and a goal scoring academy.
Okay.
So we take the goal scoring academy one end and the goalkeeping the other end.
Yeah.
And then halfway through, or about 30 minutes to go, we join both together.
Yeah.
So the strikers are practicing shooting on goal
against the keepers.
Keepers are in a real life situation.
Yeah.
So, and I'm fortunate enough that we've got John Crawley, who's the current Socceroos goalkeeper coach. He's he's the goalkeeper coach that helps him along with his partner Derek Jenkins. So
yeah, cool.
Both of those guys are mates of mine that I've got over the years, and I look after the strikers. So
fantastic.
Hey, awesome.
Feedback's been great, actually.
That's
on
good.
It. Yeah. That and then just our girls' SAP program.
Yeah.
Which is our 10s to 13s.
Yeah.
Which is a part-time program. And I'll expand on this a little bit now. I'm going to do some talking here.
Yeah.
I think it's the best program that you can have, because these girls, and I've just spoken about it before, where they play for their club on a Sunday, and then they play for us every second Saturday.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
So every 2 weeks they're getting at least two games in. They're training once a week with us.
Yep.
So for me, it's about game time.
Yeah.
The kids have got to have more game time, and that's a real struggle at the moment, where these full-time SAP programs, they're 50-minute games, and a lot of people are only playing 40 minutes.
You learn,
and that's only 40 minutes a week.
Yeah.
Whereas if they play with their club, they'll probably play for their team, and then they'll back up for someone else. Sometimes they're getting three games in a weekend. So for us, it's a great situation to be in.
Yeah.
And my personal opinion, this is not St. George's opinion, my personal opinion, that most programs in that SAP phase, 10s to 13s, boys and girls, should be playing for their club and should be playing for their a representative team.
Mm.
It's all about game time. It's not about training and stuff like that.
You learn so much in the game once it's put into action.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Decision making.
Sam?
Okay, well, you were the Sydney FC head coach of the National Youth League team, right? So explain to us how taking on a job like that, how it was, and what was your time there like?
That was huge.
Mm.
I was Sydney at a time FC. Where it's huge. And you'll understand where I'm going to come from here. So I was the assistant to Ian Crook at the time.
Yep.
So I was his assistant in the youth team.
Yep.
And that was the first year. So for us, it was about developing the youngsters.
Yep.
Wasn't so much about winning titles. And this is where people will have an opinion, or, you know, we'll get into a opinion. Is it about development of young players, or is it about winning titles as young players?
Yeah.
For us, it was about development.
Yeah.
So we had some young players that were in the Football New South Wales Institute at the time that we brought into the squad.
Yeah.
16, 17. A lot of those players went on and made their first grade debut with, Sydney FC.
Yeah.
And at that time, this footballer came along. I think his name was Alessandro Del Piero.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
so he came in.
Yeah.
He was there when I was there.
Wow.
The club had signed him. And things just changed overnight.
Wow.
And to have someone like him there, professional, was certainly something I don't think many
it's amazing.
People had, many Sydney FC players or coaches have been.
Have witnessed.
Across the witness. And
yeah.
I've got a great photo at home sitting at my table where I'm in the background with Steve Corica, Zelko Kalic, and I'm closer to Del Piero just taking free kicks.
Yeah.
Just watching him take free kicks.
That is awesome. Crazy. Did you work closely with Del Piero at all?
No, I didn't. No. No, being the youth team coach, no, you don't work closely with him, but obviously you observe training and occasionally you would step in. But no, we didn't. And I've got to thank, Ian at the time, Vitislav Lovica, the old Sydney FC coach.
Yep.
He always included me when I was, even the assistant youth team coach, he always included me in training sessions. So from time to time, he'd say, hey, Brian, can you do some little skills stuff with the players?
Awesome.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
And I guess it was huge being at Sydney FC before the times we got smacked around by Western Sydney Wanderers. Did you see that game?
Oh, last night. Oh,
I did. Yeah. I did see that last
crazy.
Night.
Got a good crowd too. They got a really good crowd yesterday.
Yeah. It's a great, great passionate derby to have within Sydney. Was one of those games.
Yeah, one of those games. Yeah.
Just,
very one-sided. 4-0 away from home.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. But I love the way, I think it's El Uni? Is it El Uni? I love the way he finished.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do within our goal-scoring academy is a lot of those goals are just side-footed goals within the penalty box.
Yeah.
You know, they're not blasting them and things like that. So it's being patient, working on your feet and just side-footing them. Thierry Henry, like.
Yeah, exactly. a big part of your career was at Blacktown City FC.
Yeah.
Head of football as a coaching coach. But you're also an essential part of the women's program there. Is that correct?
Yes. So I'll go back to, just your first part of that question. Obviously, at the time, we just won the grand final 2016. Yeah. Within my time there, we had a great FA Cup sort of run where we beat Central Coast Mariners in one game.
That's awesome.
The next game, we funny enough drew Western Sydney Wanderers, had a sellout crowd, so there was an available seat there.
Yeah.
Could we have got more in? Yeah, we could have, but good old the stadium there, we just had to be careful of capacity with the rules. So it was a sellout. We drew 2-2, lost on penalties, unfortunately.
No, that's all right.
Heartbreaking.
But I don't know if you remember, we played Sydney United and that Danny Choi goal, which was from over halfway, probably about
Danny
60,
Troy goal.
Sixty yards out.
Yeah, wow.
Where he bombed it over the keeper. That's just you sort of have memorable moments.
Stuff like that.
Time.
It doesn't happen every day.
So it was great, and winning the grand final was another thing, and being in the top four. And then starting Blacktown City Women's Program, which was the Girls Conference League at the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we introduced that to the club. We had that for a couple of years before I left.
Yeah.
And now they've gone on and they're in the NPL 2, which is fantastic. And they won their first game last week.
Yeah, great. Awesome.
First grade. So good on them. And I think they'll do well.
Yeah.
Got a great club over there.
Yeah. That's
always
awesome.
Always, producing good young players.
Yeah.
Prime example. Two of them is Aaron Moy and Matty Ryan.
Yeah.
Come out of the club. So.
Yeah.
And that's what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to develop those good young ones.
I've got an additional question then. Speaking about the women's program. Women's World Cup's here this year, Australia and New Zealand.
Yep.
Thoughts on that?
It's great for the country.
Home World Cup.
I was fortunate enough when I was at Football New South Wales, we took a group over for the last World Cup in France, 2019.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
Honestly, the way the things are set up, the entertainment, things you can do, places you could visit over there.
Yeah.
It's just, Montpellier and Paris. It's just a great experience, and it'll be a great experience for the kids.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be big.
It will be
big. Yeah, you know, bigger, more teams this time.
You'll tip the winner? Who do you think will win it?
I tip Spain.
Spain,
but unfortunately, they're having troubles with their playing and coaching staff.
Mm. Oh, I didn't know that. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of the players aren't playing for the current coach.
Yeah,
which is disappointing.
That's right. Actually, no. I heard about that. The coach is a bit. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's fascinating.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but their best player is currently not playing in that squad.
Yeah,
if they have their full squad. That was my tip.
Yeah,
to win it.
Yeah.
So yeah, and the US are always going to be strong.
Always.
We're going to be, hopefully, up there.
Yeah.
If we stay injury free.
Yeah. England have got a fair chance.
England.
Yeah.
So you're looking at those teams that, but my initial tip was Spain.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's shout.
I might have to change that.
Yeah.
Might have to change that.
Mm. Yeah, because Alexia Putellas is not playing for Spain.
No.
Because of the manager.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
Otherwise, yes. that's a good opinion. 2015, you were coach of the Ashram Girls School.
Yep.
Which toured the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Which you were ahead of for 3 years. Tell us a bit about that and your experience there.
Well, it wasn't actually Ashram School that toured England.
Cool.
And this is the same. I was at Newington College, the boys' school there for 7 years at Stanmore,
mm-hmm.
and then I went on to Ashram.
Okay.
That involved me touring with the Australian school boys and school girls
yep.
as both head coach of the school boys and head coach of the school girls.
Yeah.
So at my time at Ashram, I was actually head coach of the Australian school girls.
Yeah.
And we went over and toured England, Ireland, Wales, Scotland.
That'd have been amazing.
Amazing experience for the kids over there. And this will come up in one of your questions, I reckon, later on that you've got there about the tour. But, yeah, fantastic experience for both when I was with the boys and when I was with the girls.
Yeah.
Mm. I was with the boys, actually, Katrina Gorry was in the schoolgirls team.
Yeah. So Gorry was in the – wow.
Yeah, she was in the schoolgirls team. So
fantastic midfielder. Fantastic midfielder.
Yeah, great little worker.
Yep.
Cheeky.
Yep.
But – Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to watch you play.
Awesome. Just to wrap up this first segment, got a couple of quick fire questions for you.
Go for your life.
All right. As a coach, what would be your go-to or preferred formation if you could choose?
If I could choose, that's a really difficult one because...
It depends on the team, I guess.
Yeah.
Eh?
Yeah. Well, you always choose your own formation, but then you probably have to adjust sometimes depending on how you're going.
Exactly, and injuries. Yep.
And injuries and things like that. Things can happen in the first minute.
Yeah.
You know, I watched the game the other day. It was Arsenal playing, I don't know who they lost. Sorry, they didn't lose, but they conceded in the first minute. And then all of a sudden.
Against Bournemouth? Tactics,
I think it was Bournemouth, yeah.
First 9 seconds.
That goal was offside, just for the record.
If
you have a look before kickoff even started, the players had encroached on the left-hand side. They were in an offside position as he played the ball.
Wow.
If you have a look at it.
So interesting.
VAR should have picked that up.
Well, Arsenal getting robbed and still winning.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I suppose 4-3-3 is an initial one. I went over and did an international coaching course in Holland at the KNVB, which is their headquarters.
Yep.
Learned a lot about the 4-3-3.
Yep.
And just to adapt it from there and how you can adapt it.
Yeah, because Netherlands like their 4-3-3.
Oh,
very, very good at it.
Do they ever?
It's a very modern formation as well.
Yeah.
I like it.
But
when,
you adapt.
You adapt. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Second one, your biggest win ever as a coach or as a player, doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say here, and I'm going to go back again, I'm going to go back to 1982.
Okay.
Where the old Tasman Cup, it used to be called, is now called the Commonwealth Bank Cup.
Okay.
Schoolboys competition.
Yeah,
yep.
I know it.
Yep. We had 268 teams in the competition.
Yep. Wow.
We won it.
Awesome.
I was captain. I'll never forget the day. It was the worst weather that we ever had at St. George's Stadium, playing in the mud. But we won 1-0, and that's my most memorable moment. And once again, I've got a photograph of me holding up the trophy at the time.
Mm, yeah.
And it was the first year that Commonwealth Bank actually sponsored the schoolboys trophy.
Unbelievable.
Now there's a lot of sports high schools that are winning it.
Yep.
It wasn't just the old high school. This is how you win it. So that was definitely the most memorable. And then we, fortunate enough, we played the Victorian schoolboy champions.
Yeah, wow. Well,
beat them at Garside Park in Granville.
Yeah.
So I do remember that.
Biggest talent you coached?
Wow.
Biggest talent.
Wow. at the Institute of Sport, probably Aaron Moy.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. That's unbelievable.
He was there with his cousin Brody. Great footballer, played for Newcastle Jets. As was a smart footballer back then. So we had some. Yeah, Andrew Redmayne was in goals there. Dean Pizanis, who currently plays for Reading, was the other goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Him. Yeah,
Aaron Moy.
And because he's become most successful, I think.
Yeah.
In the current day footballers. Exactly. And still playing well and still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well for Celtic and his country.
Well, he's done exceptional in the past month, I think, for Celtic. He's scored a lot of goals. He's assisted a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's always been a fantastic asset to the Australian team.
Yeah. And then in the girls, when she was 10, Kaya Simon.
Wow.
Football New South Wales.
That's unbelievable.
She was in a program up there along with Teresa Pelias. She was amongst the boys.
Yeah.
Competitive, technically very good. On the ball, and I'm still pretty good friends with her.
Yeah, cool.
So I chat to her as often as I can when she's back in Australia.
Yeah.
And great representative for the Indigenous community as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, I don't want to move down to this, but biggest loss you've had?
I go to the Australian schoolgirls, and our biggest loss, I think it was probably 15-0.
Oh no.
And it was against Arsenal. Okay. And what we did was we were in a game, a junior game. We thought we were going to play one of their junior squads.
Yeah.
And I turned to my assistant, who's now currently the Football New South Wales Institute head coach, Lisa Warriner, and I said to her, gee, I recognise some of these girls. It was the actual first team for Arsenal.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Well, to play them must have been
an honour.
An honour.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fair enough. It was an honour, but
wanted to win.
We had one chance, which was in about the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then from there on, we were just defending. And we just couldn't compete.
Jeez.
Unfortunately. And it wasn't – it's one of those games where you just go, what was the coach thinking for them?
Yeah.
Why was he playing their strongest side?
Yeah.
All those sort of things against Australian school girls team. And it becomes a little bit disheartening for the girls.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah,
but
they
next game they were fine.
Yeah,
they were fine.
Yeah,
really good.
Biggest achievement to lift it back up again as a coach. Biggest achievement as a coach.
Wow. I think you look at things like winning titles. Is one where at Parramatta FC, I was head coach. We were in NPL. Two, I suppose, at the time, I think it was.
Yep.
And we won the title with three games, I think maybe four games to go.
Yep.
And I remember winning it at, we played at, I think it was Sydney University at Seymour Shore. Winning that title and getting the old Parramatta Melita Eagles back up into the first division.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
Which was, for me, it was a great achievement.
That's awesome.
So winning titles is
always great.
Stands out for you. It's always in your back of your mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So I was going to say something you've learnt over the years. Anything of note that stands out to you? That it's a very broad question. So
yeah, it is. That's really, really interesting. Wow. Just adapting. How do you adapt throughout games at half time? What do you say before games? What do you say after the games? Do you say much? I think That's what I've learned over the years. We, as coaches, we say too much at half time.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and I never say anything after the game. It's just sort of, well done, see you next Tuesday. Time to reflect on the game is afterwards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's that before game, during the game adaptation, half time.
Making the you know, guys what, believe,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get on the TV and you watch the rugby league and you see people blowing up. You see people blowing up at half time. You see people blowing up in the box.
Yeah.
You see people blowing up after the game.
Yeah.
Mm.
Players are switched off.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear it.
Yeah, because they know.
They know.
Yeah.
They know. They don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, think about it. Have a look at the replay of the game. Analyse it. And then, okay, this is where we boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Okay, make your points at your next training session. Move on. We've got to move on to the next game.
Exactly.
But I just see them blowing up all the time. And I'm thinking, is that what happens in the change room at half time? And it, obviously it does.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Footballing wise, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time as a coach? Retired? You reckon?
Fair enough.
Rack up my boots. Wife would like to say retired as well.
Fair enough.
Retired, but look, I'll be still involved in coaching.
Yeah.
They'll probably carry me off the field in a box, you know.
Yeah.
All right. That's the way I'll go.
Well, I've got an additional question then.
Good.
Sum up your coaching career and playing career in one word. If you had one word to describe.
Again, it's so broad, but one word.
It's one of those words, you know. We need.
I've got to say, enjoyable.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And enjoyable because it's an experience where you have lots of highs, lots of lows.
Yeah.
But you're surrounded by people who love the game.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by players, coaches.
Yeah.
Parents at times.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
And the feedback you get from people about it. Enjoyable.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah,
you know, you're passionate about it, but yeah. I would suggest enjoyable's the word.
Yeah,
I would use.
All right, well, that wraps up segment one. Going into segment two very shortly, with the tip for the NPL, who's going to win it this season, boys and girls, as well as the Premier League overnight. We know how many goals were scored in so little games. And score predictions for what's to come. See you then.
G'day and welcome back to the Inside Right Podcast.
I'm Wes.
I'm Sam.
And we're the teenage dynamic duo of football,
giving you everything you need to know about the beautiful game.
And if we can set up well in this first game, why can't we snatch a point?
You know, I'd go Maradona, Messi, Pele, R9, Cristiano Ronaldo. That is a hot take.
Kicking it back off with this second segment of the podcast. Here we go. We've got a few games last night. Obviously, we've mentioned plenty of times this episode already. There's been lots of goals, lots of exciting fixtures. Wes, do you want to start?
Yeah, so before we get into the Premier League, let's talk about the New South Wales NPL. It's kicked off, what is it, 7 games now played, something like that?
Yeah, I think it's about 7 games.
Yeah, 7 games played. Before we get into the Premier League, who's going to win it? New South Wales boys and New South Wales girls. Who do we see take it at home?
Okay.
I think it's who's top, Sydney United at the moment?
I think they are.
Yeah.
I've got to say, and I know Crudo would be, he'd be onto me straight away, but I'd have to say with my relationship with Blacktown City.
Yeah, okay.
I think they've still got a good squad.
Yeah.
And you need a good squad within this season because it's now obviously gone up to, 30 games, I think it is?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so 16 teams up there, so 30 games. So you've got to have a good squad and a good backup squad. And
yeah.
I know the under-20s have been very successful at Blacktown City.
Yeah.
So I would suggest Blacktown City.
Yeah.
There's a couple of teams in there that, the Sydney United's, the Arpias.
Yeah.
Marconi.
Marconi,
yeah. Although Marconi got beaten last night by Sutherland.
Yeah.
2-0.
Wollongong Wolves.
Yeah, Wollongong.
Did you put them in there?
They got beaten last night by St George City.
Sometimes they can turn it on, though.
Yeah, yeah. So I would suggest going on. Who's going to win it? Blacktown City for me.
Is that for the boys and the girls, would you say?
The girls. Okay, I would suggest it's going to be Sydney University will be up there again.
Always.
They've got a great squad, great coach involved in there, who I believe is now the Central Coast Mariners women's coach.
Yep.
M husband. So I'm going to tip them again.
Yep.
But, Apia.
Yeah.
Apia might have a...
It's hard to look away from Sydney Uni with the girls, I find. Always there. Always there. Always at top. All right. Let's go in. Let's get into it. So, we've had 5 games overnight, 21 goals, goal thriller. Let's start off with the game that was Saturday morning. Nottingham Forest, Newcastle. Newcastle with a penalty last second. Alexander Isak took it and scored.
Mm.
How do you feel about Newcastle this season, Brian?
Wow, Newcastle are a side that are on the improve. You know,
yeah.
Eddie Howe's the manager over there.
Yeah.
They've just brought in Isak. I think it was probably his first game. Is it his first game or is
he... No, he's been there for a few months now, but he had a couple of injury issues.
Okay.
But, he needs to get those goals up again.
Scored both goals last night.
Yeah.
Not before,
actually,
against Forest. And Forest have not a bad side.
They've done well. Signings. They've done well.
But, yeah, Newcastle...
top always, 5?
Yeah, I think they'll finish in the top 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're an interesting club, Saudi-backed club.
Which in the long run, that's going to be interesting with the amount of money they've got. Standout for Newcastle this season?
Player?
Yeah, player.
I always look at Sam Maximin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just a tricky sort of customer.
Yeah, he is.
Tricky character.
You're right.
Kieran, as long as you don't give free kicks away from out of the box, Kieran Trippier.
Kieran Trippier is always a threat.
Did you see what he did with the penalty? He acted like he was going to take the pen, but he let Isak take it.
Yeah.
Kieran Trippier held the ball.
Yeah.
And the Forest keeper's like giving it to him, mind games with Kieran Trippier.
Yeah.
Last second, gives it to Isak and he scores.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like stuff like that.
It's a bit of a tactic these days.
It's a bit,
With clubs, I think Arsenal did it just recently.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I think maybe Odegaard stepped up, but Saka ended up taking it.
Yeah.
When Mo Salah takes a penalty, he does that sideward step, runs up to the ball and shoots it. But what happens is Henderson is behind him and he mimics the exact same movement as Mo when he goes to shoot. It seems to put off the keeper a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's all different types of penalty tactics they use.
Mm.
But, yeah, there you go.
Very good.
Aston Villa, Bournemouth. Aston Villa, heaven. I think Emi Martinez got his 100th Premier League clean sheet.
There you go.
Which is very impressive.
Yeah.
Especially for a keeper who was at Arsenal for a while, never first choice.
And he's so young. I don't believe he's like...
No, I think he is. I think he is old, Sam.
You know, hold on, let me check.
Yeah,
let's get a fact check on that.
It's interesting. He's the second choice keeper at Arsenal. First choice keeper for Argentina now.
Yeah.
Won the World Cup.
That save in the World Cup final.
Yeah.
That's world class.
Very strong. And Unai Emery coming in over there.
It's doing really well.
Things.
Yeah.
So
I think Stevie G, how do you find Stevie G as a manager? Because I think it's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one and look, you don't know. Footballers are decent footballers going to become decent managers.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a lot of pressure involved with that.
Yes, you've got to have played the game a little bit, I think, to be a good manager.
Yeah.
But do you have to be the best?
Probably not.
And become the best manager? It's a difficult one.
Yeah.
A difficult one.
Is Emi Martinez 29?
30.
30.
So there you go. He's actually a bit older than I thought, but... No, it's still an impressive feat.
Yeah, he's still got 5 or 6 years left in him, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
Really? A keeper can go for a lot longer.
Yeah.
But, how his career's turned around in the past 2-3 years is remarkable.
Yep.
It's been outstanding. Brentford-Leicester. Leicester, all right, I think they're 4th last. Brendan Rodgers, is it time for him to go? Because he always seems, when he comes into a club, he has a few good years. After that, starts to go a bit downhill. He's been at Leicester for what? 5 years now or something like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's an interesting one.
Jamie Vardy, not so much party now. So.
No. Did he play? I don't think he played last night. I didn't think he played. Harry Souter's in there now.
Yeah, Harry Souter.
There's a real battle. There's a real battle down those bottom teams. Yeah. So is it time for Brendan to go? Well, he'll become the 10th manager if it is this year.
Yeah.
In the Premier League,
yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, a lot of sackings, you're right.
Just crazy.
Thoughts on Ivan Toney as a player?
I'm not going to comment on that one. on that one after his cheeky little jab at Arsenal. I think it was the first game of the season. Was it last year or this year?
I think it was last season. Was it when you guys lost and went around with the boys?
Yeah, good kick around. And then the boys obviously beat them in the next game.
Gabriel did the same thing too.
And is there a betting top scandal with him at the moment?
But I don't know. It keeps saying he's going to get suspended, and then he never gets suspended. So I don't know when that is date.
Just an ongoing investigation. It is kind of weird, eh?
Yeah, it must be. Goal thriller overnight, Tottenham, Southampton, right? Southampton have really, really, really struggled this season. And Tottenham have somehow managed to stay in top four, even though very inconsistent results. Thoughts on that, Brian?
I love that Southampton came back. I love that Theo Walcott, the ex-Arsenal player, scored.
Yep, and assisted.
It's Tottenham.
Yeah, it's Tottenham. Yeah. That's the only way to describe it. Tottenham. It's Tottenham, lads. Exactly.
I don't know. I've got no real opinion on Tottenham.
Yeah. Conte.
But yeah, they're still in the top four. They're still up there.
Yeah.
Southampton home game.
Yeah. Southampton home game. Yes.
Great that they came back.
St. Mary's.
Yeah. But whenever Harry Kane's in the side and Seong Min's in the Tottenham side, they're always a threat.
Always a threat. You're
always
right.
Always a threat. So,
is it time for Harry Kane to move on if he wants to collect that trophy? Somewhere like Bayern or something?
I think for me it is. But once again, I don't like to talk about Tottenham being an Arsenal fan.
Fair yeah. Fair enough.
And what they're doing over there. But
not fair.
Yeah.
Sam, thoughts on Conte this season?
Because
I thought they were going to win a trophy this season. I really did.
We both did. We both predicted Conte to take something.
League Cup or something. We thought Tottenham might have been able to win one of them. But I'm not sure about Conte now.
Lads, it's Tottenham. That's all I can say. Like, what do you even do with that? And Richarlison's come out in heaps of interviews, like, real explosive. It's just ugly, like, what's happening at the club.
You're right.
And they're all talking about, yeah, how stuffed the season is. Like, Richarlison had some words the other day. But
very brutal, honest man.
Yeah. And
He came off crying because he got injured, like, 20 minutes into the game. He still has not got a Premier League goal this season.
Yeah. No. How crazy is that? And I watched him in that Arsenal game. Tottenham played Arsenal. And obviously the fans giving it to Aaron Ramsdale behind the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Aaron Ramsdale being cheeky and you know, just applauding and not saying much. And Richarlison didn't like what was going on and decided to confront him. And then all of a sudden a melee starts.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Ramsdale goes and picks up his towel from behind the goal, get kicked in the back.
Yeah.
Those things shouldn't happen.
No, it shouldn't.
As professional footballers, game's over, shake your hands, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's
don't win
on. I'm not a fan. Not a fan of his.
Yeah, same here. Showboating against Nottingham Forest too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Interesting.
Next game, Sam. Mm.
Okay, well, I've got here Leeds Wolves.
Yes.
The 4-2.
Leeds. I was not expecting that.
Mate, no one was. I thought it should have been a more tightly contested game because they're both two clubs with, like, a similar sort of pairing in terms of this season of their performance. Away from home as well, Leeds, so I wouldn't have picked them to win at all, but 4-2 was crazy.
Yeah.
I think it was six different goal scorers in
that game. Yeah, depending was... even on the last goal that Luke Ayling scored, there was just no one back post.
Yeah.
And he just dived in there and headed the ball down and scored. Wow.
Yeah.
Like you... I like Wolves and the way they play, and so they've got some good footballers there, but 4-2 at home.
4-2,
wow.
It's not good enough. No. Rodrigo, the lead striker, has got as many Premier League goals as Mo Salah this season.
There you go.
11 goals.
Yep.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Jack Harrison. I really rate Jack Harrison. On a good day, he can score from anywhere. Like, he seems to be one of those players who's got a lovely shot on him, and I think he could go to a better team like Tottenham. I really do. I believe that.
He's a kid that flies under the radar.
Yeah.
I think he does. He's not, you know, out there as well known, or but he's just a good, honest footballer.
Yeah.
Good young kid.
Yeah.
Can he go on and do and work for a bigger club?
I think so.
Yeah.
How old is Jack Harrison? Can we get a check on that?
Jack Harrison. Truth.
I don't know, but let's take a guess. I'm going to say 24.
I would have said 26.
Yeah, somewhere mid-20s, I reckon. Jack.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wolves are just, I don't know what to say, to be honest. I don't think Adama Traore is the right foot for many football clubs. Yeah.
26.
There you go. 26.
Sorry.
Well done, Sam. On the money.
Cheers. Mm.
But yeah, it's a very tight down the bottom. Like West Ham are bottom three, but if they win one game, I think they go like 16th or something.
Yep.
Mm. You know, it's very tight, so it's going to be interesting, that bottom half of the table at the end.
And that's why I love the Prem so much. Like, you've got a great title race, but then the relegation race is also just absolutely crazy.
Yeah. And one goal keeps you up.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It literally one game can change your position by, you know, about six or something. Like, it's crazy.
Chelsea. Let's talk about them. At home to Everton. 2-2.
You shouldn't be drawing at Everton at home. Obviously, Sean Dyche has come in and he's done, you know, unbelievable stuff for Everton since he's come in. But I don't think you should be drawing to Everton, especially at home. They're not the type of team you should be drawing to at home, even though it's Sean Dyche, right?
Yeah.
89th minute winner.
Winner? Equaliser?
Sorry, equaliser, not a winner. But, yeah, Brian, thoughts on this?
Well, Chelsea have just... they've not been up to their usual standard this year.
No way.
I don't know what's going on over there. You know, they brought in... they outbid Arsenal on Mudryk.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him at all.
I'm still looking really? For pockets for him. Yeah, I can't find them anywhere.
I think Arsenal dodged one there, which is great, because they picked up Trossard.
Yeah.
And then Trossard last week, three assists in the first half.
Yeah.
But the game, going back to it, it was an interesting game there, Chelsea and Everton, and Everton obviously getting a point away is a good result for them, especially at this stage of the season. That's what they need, but they need to win at home.
Do you play fantasy football, the app?
No, I don't. No, I've never really got into it.
Captain João Felix this week. And he scored a great goal, so I was very happy. We got 18 points or something.
That's ballsy to captain him.
I know, I know. But he's hit the post a lot in recent times. They got to eventually go in.
Yeah,
that was my thought process.
Yeah, interesting.
Crystal Palace, Arsenal. Oh. Arsenal at home. Brian?
Patrick Vieira just been sacked.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a bounce back for them? I don't think so this week.
Yep.
Yeah. I think Arsenal have been very good. Disappointing during the week, losing on penalties. To Sporting, in the Europa League, which is disappointing for me. But where do you sort of balance your squad? And this is all about squads. Where do you balance your squad about Europa League? You know, the Premiership.
Yeah.
Who do you play? Who don't you play? You've got to have a fairly big squad.
Yeah, exactly.
And I thought, you know, going back to the previous game, Chelsea have it. Would have a decent squad with the money they're playing.
They're going to have three teams.
Yeah, look, it's all about the squad depth in competitions like that. But look, you know, not everyone can stay in the Europa League. Only the top dogs can really deserve to stay in there. And
you know, and guess what? The top dogs go to the Champions League.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll see you next season.
So, for me, it's going to be Arsenal win that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Score?
I think quite comfortably.
Yeah, right.
And I think... I'm going to say it 3 or 4-0.
You know what's interesting, though? When Sean Dyche came in, he came in like the day or two before you blokes burst them. And then they drew. Oh,
no, they won.
They won. Yeah, they won.
They won. Yeah,
so,
look,
if Crystal Palace can, I don't know, pull a rabbit out of the hat, sign someone like quickly, and I don't know.
In
like,
the next 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I say... I don't think they're going to bounce back this week. Maybe next week.
Following
new
week.
New manager comes in.
Yeah, that's fair. But like Wesley, you said, you've said before on the podcast that you feel that the best game you play under a manager is the first game. The first game with a manager.
Yes. This has been an ongoing pattern. I realise when a team gets a new manager, they always play well first week game. One. Right? That's an ongoing pattern. That's why I hate it when... this is just an example, Liverpool versus Fulham, and Fulham's got a new manager, then they play like outstanding. So like stuff like that. But I don't see, I think Palace are the odd one out there. I think Palace have got so much bad luck. And what, two shots on target in four games or something?
Yeah.
Like, that's appalling. I'm going 4-1 Arsenal.
Jeez.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Sam?
Again, they need a manager in the next, like, 6 hours. But
yeah, better hurry up.
Man. Yeah. if that doesn't happen, then...
Roy
yeah.
Hudson, they reckon.
Don't get return. Roy Hudson.
Roy Hudson, don't return.
Don't get Roy Hudson.
You can't be that desperate, surely.
Mate, don't get Roy Hudson. Roy.
Age check on Roy Hudson. I'm joking.
No, I've got probably... Yeah, Crystal Palace won't score. I'll go 3-0.
Yeah, Arsenal. Fair enough. All right, well, that wraps up segment two. We're going into our final segment of today with the game. Before we close off this segment, this is how it works. 10 trivia questions on the world of football. It could be World Cup, could be Premier League, could be anything. Wow. All right?
Mm. Okay.
And you've got 60 seconds to answer them.
Okay.
No pressure.
No pressure.
But we'll see you then.
See how we go.
Yeah.
Neymar wins that World Cup, then he'll take home a Ballon d'Or, which he's deserved.
That's a send-off, mate. Red card for you. That's ridiculous. Here we are. It's the Talking Soccer Bollocks quiz. 10 questions, 60 seconds. Brian, how do you feel about this?
Look, I think if I get one right, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
If I get two right, I'll be even happy. If I get over 50%, that's a pass mark.
Yeah,
so, exactly. let's try for a pass mark.
Yeah, let's try. All right.
Under pressure.
Under pressure.
Yep.
Sam, you let me know when you're ready, and I'll start my questions.
All right. So, yeah, obviously the pressure does get to you, but look, just got to stay calm and composed.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go. What year did Greece win the Euros?
Oh, 1994.
No, sorry. What nationality is Tottenham defender Ryan Sessegnon? You can pass as well.
Sessegnon. I'm going to say Nigerian.
No. Who scored the goal for the Socceroos against Tunisia? 30 seconds. You can always go past.
Craig Goodwin.
No, what country won the first ever World Cup in 1930?
I'm going to go with Uruguay.
Yes. How many Premier Leagues did Chelsea have?
How many Premier League titles?
Yes.
8.
No. Who's the all-time leading goal scorer for the Champions League?
Oh, wow. Lewandowski.
No. Who is the only goalkeeper to ever win a Ballon d'Or?
Time.
All right, so what I'll do here, because I've still got a few questions, I will allow this. This is overtime, so no time, and let's see if you can get these. The only keeper to win a Ballon d'Or, he's Russian. That's your clue.
Levchin. Can't think of him.
His first name is Lev.
Lev Yashin.
Yeah, nice.
I'll allow that. Who's the all-time highest African goal scorer in the Premier League history?
Oh, I'd have to say Chaje Okocha.
It's Mo Salah. Who won the 2001 Copa America?
Oh, wow. Copa America. Tough. I'm going to say Argentina.
Yes. Who won the 2018 World Cup?
That was in Russia.
Yep. Yeah.
It wasn't Italy, was it?
No,
it was France.
France.
So that's three. Let's just go over the ones you didn't get correct.
Yep.
Greece won it in 2004, the Euros.
Oh, I went there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What nationality is Tottenham defender Sessegnon? He's English.
Ah,
there you go.
Okay.
No, it doesn't get picked by Gareth Southgate, though.
No.
Mitch Duke scored against Tunisia, the header.
Of course.
Five-time Premier League winners Chelsea. Ronaldo, the all-time Champions League top scorer.
Yep.
140 goals.
Yep.
Yep, Mo Salah. Yep, that's it. So we've got three. Three's not bad under pressure.
Yeah, I must say.
Yep. I'd say one would be good, but...
Yeah.
All right.
Two more than that. All right, now you get another go with Sam's questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I love it.
Yeah.
So I've got 1 minute to answer 10 questions. Yes. Is that right?
And we can go over time.
Right.
We can
I was
go
a little bit... A little bit confused about that one.
All good.
That's okay.
It's all good. We've got round two. That's the reason for round two. All right.
Come on, Sam. Fire
Three,
away.
Three, two, one, go.
Okay, who is the most successful coach in the Champions League of all time? Like, who's won the most trophies?
Don't know.
Okay. How old is Neymar Jr. currently?
36.
Unlucky, no. What number does Odegaard wear for Arsenal?
8.
Correct. Thierry Henry has won one Champions League in his time. Who do you win it with?
Barcelona.
Correct. Which European club just knocked Arsenal out of the Europa League?
Sporting Portugal.
Yep, correct. What is commonly referred to as Mo Salah's nickname?
The Egyptian King.
Correct. Which club is currently sitting at the bottom of the Bundesliga?
Pass on that one.
Okay. Which national team do the Matildas play in the first round of the Women's FIFA World Cup?
Ireland.
Correct. True or false, Peter Cech has currently retired completely from professional sports?
False.
Correct. Which goalkeeper has more clean sheets in the Prem this season, De Gea or Alisson?
De Gea.
Correct. You that smashed it?
That's seven.
Jeez.
There you go. Seven out of ten. Take that.
Yeah, I will.
That's over a pass. That's 70%.
Well, you know what? Job. You went up to the most flying. So Ancelotti's the most successful.
Ancelotti, yes, of course.
Neymar Jr. is 31 years old. Okay. So you're five off. And the only other one you got wrong was Bundesliga, Hoffenheim. At the bottom.
Yeah.
But seven's, mate, seven's brilliant. That's a great comeback from three.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Brian.
I think I was a little bit more calm in the second one.
Yeah. The first one, you know what you're doing, right? Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much, Brian. It's been a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you both for inviting me on.
It's quite so enjoyable, much fun.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's been heaps of fun.
Awesome. See you. All right. See you next time for episode 11 of the Inside Right podcast. See you then.